I'm going to move this other Bible here and use the glowing Bible because, you know, I'm modern. So, all right. Thank you guys so much for being here. I am so excited to be here myself. Let me see. Do I have a little crackle? There we go. We got it. Good morning, everybody. So your student pastor is one of these people I instantly connected with. He has been a friend of mine for a few years now, and we planned this youth event together. Over 2 years now, man. It's been over 2 years, but then, you know, COVID. So, but we were finally able to do our show yesterday. As he says, it went really well. I got to bring the gospel. So thank you, Pastor Raphael, for letting me have that opportunity. Thank you so much. So today, though, I get to bring the word to you right here at Orange County Gospel Fellowship. So, yeah. I am blessed. I am privileged to be able to do that. And I'm going to be up front. It may be a little different than you're used to hearing, but I don't think that's a bad thing, right? Because as long as we're uniting around the Word of God, then we can unite. Amen? So sometimes hearing a slightly different perspective will help us grow because we might think about things in ways that we maybe haven't considered before, right? And so thank you, Pastor Shelley, for letting me just have this amazing opportunity to be here and preach right here from your pulpit today. Thank you so much, sir. I appreciate it. So now I know you guys are probably most excited about the fact that, yes, I'm an illusionist. So in an effort to avoid immediately disappointing you, why don't I start with a magic trick? Can we do that? All right, cool. This is just for you guys. You're watching online, just for you guys watching live here, because when we upload it later, it's not going to be in the video, okay? They're not going to leave it up online. This is only to be seen live. So if you're watching live, this is for you. I have a very old antique table. Now, this table I picked up quite a while ago in an antique shop. And you know, hundreds of years ago, people known as psychics would tell you that they can contact the dead. In fact, they still say that. And it's not true. The Bible tells us very clearly that when we die, we are instantly either in heaven or in hell, depending on what we do with Jesus. Now, these people still, this is how they make their living. They just use magic tricks. Not yet, please. I'll cue you. It's okay, we didn't rehearse. These people would do magic tricks to try and prove their powers. And the problem is that they'll use a magic trick and then lie about it, and they'll say it's real. That there's maybe some ghost here among us who wants to contact one of you, or some sort of shenanigans like this. Now, they would borrow an object from the audience, maybe a wedding ring or a locket or something from a dearly departed loved one. They would trap it in a little box, and then they'd place the box upon a table. They'd place their hands upon the table, and all of a sudden, the table would start sliding around the floor. And sometimes it would even tip over. It didn't look like they were pushing it, but there was some sort of trick. Now, this was hundreds of years ago. I think we've come a long way in the last few hundred years. I know all their tricks. In fact, I think I can do them even better. Should we try? Here we go. Go ahead. You can see how easy it is to be deceived. Thank you. So, I'm not here just to deceive you. I am here to tell you the truth. And truth starts with the Word of God. So let's start with the Word of God. Guys, how's this microphone doing? Is it off? Is it working? Is it okay? You hear it in the back. Okay, good. Okay. I can't hear myself, so I was just making sure. Perfect. So as Taylor Swift tells each of her boyfriends, I will not keep you very long. So. There's no such thing as a bad short sermon, right? So when in doubt, be a little short. Hey, so listen, I'm a dreamer. I am. It's probably why I connect with Pastor Raphael so much. I feel like we're kind of cut from the same cloth. But because I am a dreamer, I'm a visionary, it means I have no problem believing that we serve a miracle-working God. We serve a God who can feed over 5,000 people with a little boy's lunch. We serve a God who can heal a blind man by putting mud on his eyes. We serve a God who can part the Red Sea for his followers and then drown an Egyptian army trying to pursue them. And we serve a God who died a horrible death on a cross for us, lay in a borrowed tomb, and then rose again 3 days later. Hallelujah. And we serve a God who can forgive sin and save a weary soul that is so distant, so far from him. And I believe God is still doing miracles in modern days. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? He's still working. He is still healing. He is still speaking. However, sometimes we are just not in the right place to observe it. And that's what I want to talk about today. Now, several years ago, quite a few now, thankfully, I was struggling with my own faith. I couldn't decide if I believed if God was real. I'd grown up in a Christian family, but now I was having to face these things on my own. It was no longer enough for me to have the faith of my parents. I had to have my own. And my parents believed, but did I? It came to a head one night. I sat in my office, and I picked up a pen. I don't see any pens around. We'll use a Sharpie. Picked up a pen. And I was at this point where I just needed to know if God would answer prayer on command. Maybe that could prove he was real. And maybe if I could just see an on-command miracle. So I picked up a pen, and I sort of spoke up to the ceiling and said, God, I know that I have to believe in faith that you're there, so I'm believing as best as I can. I believe you're there. I believe you answer prayers. I believe you do miracles. God, you know, as an illusionist, I can levitate this pen. I can let go, and I can make it float, right? I could do that if I want to. But if you are the all-powerful creator, the being of this universe, you could do it too, and you don't need a magic trick. God, you see me struggling. I will never in my life ask you to do something like this ever again. But God, help me. I'm going to let go of this pen. I have to know if you are real. I can't take it anymore. I have to know. And I'm going to let go. I don't care how you do it. You could cause a sinkhole and my whole house start to fall down a foot. Like, and that would be a miracle also, right? I don't care how you do it, but I want the pen to float, even if it's just for a second. Please, I'm not trying to make you just be a performing monkey, but I need this. I need this. I prayed, but the moment came where I had to let go of the pen. I held it out in front of me, and I let go. And and there was never a sound so loud as when that pin hit my carpeted floor. Because God was dead. Worse, he didn't exist. My faith was wrecked, shattered. Here I was serving in my church. I played the organ. I was teaching Sunday school. I was preaching about Jesus. I was married to a Christian woman. I was raising Christian kids. My whole life was wrapped up in the identity of Jesus, and I was no longer a believer. If God didn't exist, anything was possible. I could live any way I wanted to. But then I considered the consequences of doing that, and I realized, okay, even if God doesn't exist, it's far safer, far more comfortable for me to just continue living like a Christian. And I saw the end results of living life apart from Christian principles, and I knew that I didn't want to end up that way. You know, when people go through a dark night of the soul, you never hear somebody say, well, then I turned to drugs and alcohol and it all turned around. Right? Like that, you don't hear that, right? But if there was no God, then what we do on earth is ultimately pointless. I could kill someone, I could give someone $100. It really doesn't matter in the end. So I was miserable as an atheist. I was far happier as a Christian, even with my struggles. So I decided rather quickly this was really no way to live. And so I made a choice. I made a choice. I chose to believe God exists. I chose. Did you know you can choose what you believe? You can choose what you believe. You don't have to have 100% proof and knowledge to believe something. You could have 51% and go, well, this, I don't have all the answers, 51%, but it's a majority. I'm going to believe this. You can choose. And that's what I did. I chose to believe, even though I had plenty of doubts, plenty of issues, I chose to trust. I kept going to church. I kept reading my Bible. I kept believing because now it was a choice. It didn't always feel like it. I chose. We can choose what we believe. Now, before I tell you the end of this story, spoiler alert, God exists. I'd like to look at a story that is familiar to all of us. I hope it's a true story from God's perfect word. So if you have your Bibles, I hope you do. Let's open today to Matthew chapter 14. We're going to be looking at verse 22 to start. Matthew 14. We're going to have a few of these up on the screen too, but if you got a Bible, please feel free to open it up. Now, this passage is interesting because only the Gospel of Matthew, the only book in the Bible that talks about this instance where Peter walked on the water with Jesus. It's only recorded in Matthew. Isn't that weird? And the Gospel of Luke doesn't even talk about Jesus walking on the water. That's crazy. But there were so many amazing things happening when Jesus was on earth. They didn't write down every single thing, right? I think it was the book of John that says that all the books in the world couldn't even hold the volume of the miracles that Jesus had done in just 3 years, right? But this is fascinating. So the background info here in this passage, okay, Jesus had just finished feeding 5,000 men plus women plus children. It was incredible. I've seen the place where this happened too. I've stood on this shore. It's right on the side of the Sea of Galilee right there. I took a boat ride out on the Sea of Galilee and the sea's just, it's like almost like glass. So few ripples, barely moving, but because it's kind of in this valley thing where these mountains and hills up on the sides, storms can whip up quickly on this sea. So let's read Matthew 14:22. Immediately, he made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he sent the crowds away. And after he sent the crowds away, he went up under the mountain by himself to pray. And when it was evening, he was there alone. So Jesus sends these disciples ahead, right? He knows what he's going to do before he does it. Let's see what he does. Verse 24. But the boat was already a long distance from the land. It was being battered by the waves. So there's this storm. The wind was contrary, right, to say the least. And in the fourth watch of the night, that's between 3 and 6 a.m., just pitch black out, probably just the moonlight, the fourth watch of the night, Jesus came to them walking on the sea. What? Walking on the water? I'm an illusionist. That's impossible without a magic trick. You can only do that with a magic trick unless you're God. In which case, you can change the physical property of water on every footstep as you take your steps to catch up to your disciples who are rowing like crazy from 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. Man, I want to be sleeping during that time, and they are working because Jesus sent them ahead. And now he kind of catches up to them. Right? He's just out for a stroll. I was in China some years ago, and I was on the side of this lake, and there was a doggone Chinese man walking on the water as if it was nothing. He's just strolling across the middle of the lake, just walking on the water. I'm not exaggerating. I did not have a bad angle. He was on the water. And as an illusionist, I'm like, that's awesome. I'm going to figure this out. So I kind of snuck around, found this little back place that I don't know if I was allowed to be back. I kind of went back through there. Kind of, you know, the trick, by the way, to get backstage anywhere is look like you belong. Now, of course, I'm a very white American, and I'm in China, so I probably stood out a little bit, but I was able to get back there. I kind of just walked back like I knew what I was doing. And I get back to this spot, and I realize just under the water's surface, about an inch, there's this whole system of walkways with grates that was just under the water. And they do this massive show on the water. These ballerinas are doing their thing on the water. It's the most amazing thing. So I stuck around and watched the show, so they made some money out of the deal. But I saw how he did his trick. He was walking on the grate, not really the water. But Jesus is walking on the water, man. This is crazy. Let's look verse 26. Let's keep going. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, as you would be. And they said, it's a ghost. They cried out in fear. But immediately, isn't that great? Jesus spoke to them saying, take courage. It's me. It's Jesus. Don't be afraid. Peter said, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come out there. Call me out. I don't know why he thought a ghost wouldn't be like, come on out, right? Like, well, how did that prove it was Jesus? I don't know. But I also don't really know what Peter ever is thinking, because, you know, it's probably not a lot, right? So, verse 29, Jesus says, come on. Peter gets out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. That's crazy. And then seeing the wind, he became frightened, as probably any of us would, and he began to sink. And he cried out saying, Lord, save me! And immediately Jesus reached out with his hand and he took hold of him and he said to him, you of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind stopped. The wind ceased. How interesting. Could it have ceased before they got into the boat? What do you think, class? Yeah? Could it have ceased before Peter started walking on the water, as if that wasn't scary enough? You have to have a storm too? Could it have ceased then? Yeah? Could it have just been calm the whole time so they could actually do the mission that God had called them to do? He said, go across. Couldn't God have just stopped the storm earlier so they could have gotten across? They're going to do ministry. Why wasn't it just calm? Why didn't God prepare the way? Well, he could have. But what if the purpose of the story isn't to make the disciples' lives as comfortable as possible? What if the purpose of the story is rather to give them challenges by God that will help them grow in faith? Is this starting to sound familiar to you? Do you think the disciples grew in faith by seeing Jesus walking on water? Yeah, right? Like, do you think the disciples grew in faith to see Peter walking on water? Yes! Do you think they grew in faith when the wind stopped instantly the moment Jesus and Peter got back in the boat? Yes, and none of that would have happened had they not gone through the storm. What was their response? Look at verse 33. Those who were in the boat worshiped him. You are God's son. Wow, they worshiped. They believed who he claimed to be. Did they believe before? Yeah. But this strengthened their faith. They knew. They experienced something no one else in the history of the world had ever experienced before or since. There's millions of us Christians who have heard this story, but only 12 guys saw it happen. 12 guys. Years ago, I asked God to do this ridiculous on-command miracle, and he declined. Why? He was allowing me to go through a storm of doubt. Because of my lack of faith, I began to sink. I recognized I was sinking, so I did the only thing that made sense to me at the time. I grabbed a hold of the hand of Jesus, and I couldn't prove God was real, but I decided to believe it anyway. Several years passed. I still had my doubts. I still struggled, but I was believing on purpose. So when those doubts came, I would just say, eh, don't know what to do with you. Can't deal with you. I'm choosing not to worry about the doubts. I have chosen to believe. I could be wrong. Don't care. Following Jesus. I'm just all in on Jesus. I might be wrong. I don't know. I couldn't prove it. But I kept following anyway. So I sensed the Lord wanting me to stretch out, go on more mission trips. I'd been all over the world even at this point. But I'd never been to England, funny enough, by this point in my story. So I decided to join our church team. They were going on a mission trip to London. Sounded more like a vacation, so I said, sign me up. We go to London, and it was a great trip. We got to do a lot of different things. We had trash pickup. We were painting buildings. That's typical American missions. But we also were doing evangelism. I even did some magic shows over there, got to preach. Yeah, that's right. I'm literally doing this job and was struggling with faith. Pastors struggle too, right? So we do all this, and the missionary we were supporting, he's kind of a same sort of denominational background as I was, and we had a guy over there that was a little bit different. And he says, hey, today we're going to do something different that's going to make you guys kind of get outside your little comfort zone, your little box of how you think God works. Like, okay, what's this all about? He says, we're going to go treasure hunting. How many of you guys have heard of treasure hunting in a spiritual sense? Anybody hear of treasure hunting in the spiritual sense? One per, okay, all right. So I had never heard of this thing. I'm like, but treasure hunting, that sounds fun. I like treasure. So he says, we are going to pray, and God is going to give us like a vision. And all of a sudden, I'm like, boop. God has spoken. It is in his word. What are you talking about, this vision stuff? What is this? The Holy Spirit is going to give us a vision. We're going to go find people in our vision. And we're going to, maybe I have a vision of a woman in a white dress. And I'm going to, a woman in a white dress. And I'm going to go up to her. And then he says, you're going to tell her, I have been seeking treasure. You are the treasure I've been seeking. And then you're going to tell her about Jesus. I'm like, there is zero chance that I'm doing this. Zero. Never gonna do it. You sound like a loon, right? Like, that is crazy talk. And he could tell none of us were on board with this idea. This was ridiculous, and this is not how God works, right? At least that's what I thought. And he says, there's no way, you know. He says, listen, it's not like it's not God's will for you to find a woman in a white dress and tell her about Jesus, right? It's evangelism. Fair. That's true. He says, just pray. See if anything comes to your mind and write it down. That's all I'm asking you to do. Fine. So he says, he starts giving directions. He says, pray. You may get a name that pops in your mind. And I was like Susan or Suzanne, okay? He's like, it could be a place. And I'm like Wanstead. It's a little borough over there in London. He says, it could be a thing. And I'm like a, I don't know, a coffee shop with like a wall of drinks right there with a green awning. There, yeah, perfect. He says, you just pray. Write down whatever comes to your mind. I'm like, okay, here we go. Looking around, all my friends are kind of going off. They're going off to pray, and I'm like, okay, keep praying. I'm not getting anything. What do I do? We finish praying. The missionary, who is similar background as me, comes up. He's like, yeah, this never works for me. He says, I don't know. I got a bench. I'm the list keeper. I wrote down bench. Boy, that's going to be hard to find in London, right? And already I know how this is going to go, right? You buy a red car, and all of a sudden everybody drives red cars. What? Right? Like, no, they've been there all the time, but you just start noticing what you've been thinking about. So all of a sudden we're going to go find a bench, and I bet there's going to be a person on it, and they're going to trust Jesus. Oh, my goodness. It's going to be ridiculous. That's how this is going to go. I already know. And then I feel in my spirit the Lord go, Matt, are you here to keep telling me how I'm going to work? And I was like, fine, open mind. Bench. That's a dumb one, but whatever. Wrote it down, bench. Somebody else, I Lord love him, the missionary's brother, he was so awkward with this. He did not want to do this, and you could tell this was so far outside of his comfort zone. And he's like, I was praying, and he was so honest. I wasn't getting anything, so I went outside, and I was like kicking a rock, and like it hit another rock, and it made the shape of a T, the letter T. Good job. Well done, T. I'm like, what a loon. So somebody else says, oh, I got a bus stop number, whatever it was, 57. Oh, cool. Wow, 57. They get to me. What'd you get? I didn't want to say nothing. So I just gave whatever was popping in my head when he was giving instructions. I was like, oh, I got lots of stuff. Like, Susan or Suzanne, it wasn't clear. And I was like, and then I got Wanstead, the little borough. Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah. I was like, oh, I got a coffee shop. Wild Jam. Man, God is speaking to Matt. We wrote all this stupid stuff down, and we go off. We had a list of all these other things, woman in a red dress, all this other goofy stuff, whatever. But I'm cool with the evangelism portion. So we go out, and they're like, hey, you know what, though? The bus stop is in Wanstead. Let's go there. We had never been to this part of London before. We had never driven past it. We've never seen it. So we're like, cool, new spot. Let's go. So we went to the bus stop. There was a bench. What would have been much more statistically impossible is if there wasn't a bench. That would have been amazing. I'd be like, whoa, no bench. Cool. You know, but no, there's a bench, whatever. And nobody was on it. So I sat down on it. I ate some lunch. And I don't know how I got through my entire lunch, but I finished my lunch. And I look up. And there's the coffee shop that I had in my head. But it didn't have a green awning. 100% accurate, minus the awning. God, did you miss the awning? Why'd you put an awning in my head? Did I add that? If you are actually communicating through this method, why didn't you do it perfectly? What is the deal here? Why is there no green awning? But they're literally the same angle. There's a wall of drinks. You could have picked out your drink, and it's not a Starbucks. This is a nondescript coffee shop. And as I'm sitting here puzzling, I'm like, I'm in Wanstead. I'm at a bus stop. I'm on a bench. The bench was stupid. But there's the coffee shop. And I'm like, Lord, I'm not going to – I don't tell you no often, but I'm not going to go around to all these outdoor tables and – Susan, Suzanne, no, no, Susan, Suzanne, no. I'm not going to do that. And as I have the thought, I'm standing up, I'm throwing away my garbage and a thing, I'm trying to figure out, like, I don't even see any people that look like Susan. I don't know. Right then, right from here to about Pastor Raphael, a little bit farther away than he was, there's a man, he's a bald man in a black t-shirt, kind of looks like me, I guess, and he stops dead about 50 feet away, and we lock eyes, and instantly the Spirit of God says to me, "That is your man." And I'm like, "Susan? I don't even start the conversation. He walks up to me, and he goes, "Are you American?" He has this weird thick accent, and I'm like, "Yeah." He goes, "That's amazing." And he almost starts crying, and I'm like, "Not really." Again, statistically, amazing would be never seeing an American in London. It's a global city, but I don't say that, you know, trying to be nice. So, "That's amazing." I'm like, "Yeah." Woo. You know, he says, "Now, what's your name?" He says, "Tony." I'm like, "Tony with a T, huh? That's weird. Okay, Tony. Wanstead, bus stop, bench, Tony with a T, coffee shop. This is weird." But still, I could just be, you know, could be making it all work together. I could. You guys, some of you guys are like, this is God already. You think that. Not me. Engineer background, no way. Illusionist background, it's called coincidence. Yes, it's a high probability, but whatever. It's possible. Then he says, "Where are you from?" And I was like, "I'm from Alabama." He's like, "Oh, cool, like the song." I was like, "Yeah, Sweet Home Alabama." He's like, no, not that one. What one? He's like, "Oh, Susanna." What? Just then, my missionary friend, same background as me, elbows me and he goes, "Dude, look at his belt." He looked down at his belt, standing in Wanstead at the bus stop, close to the stupid bench. We see the coffee shop, Tony with a T. He just said Susanna. What? There's a word printed on his belt. Bench. Can't process that one. I'm like, okay, this is crazy. What is actually happening here? And in context, I am doing what God told me to do, working where God told me to work, staying in the Bible, staying in church, going on mission. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. And when I did that for years, God did basically an on-command miracle of his choosing. Don't complain that you can't catch a fish when you're sitting in a tree stand in the forest. Wrong sport. Go to where the fish are. If I wanted to see God work, I had to get involved with where he was working and what he wanted to do, not me telling him, "Hey, God, this is my idea. Okay, this is my idea. Go ahead and work. Do it now." Failure, you don't exist. How ridiculous, right? Ridiculous. I had to keep exercising my faith on his terms, but didn't stop there. He was preparing me for more. Peter, right? His story didn't stop with him just walking on the water. He later denies Jesus. Then he repents. He preaches this massive revival at Pentecost. Then he gets killed, crucified, upside down. His story wasn't all sunshine and roses, right? But it mattered. He changed the world. He authored parts of the Bible. He lived, he died all for Jesus. He mattered. And I don't want my story to stop after a mission trip. God has many other plans for me. He wants to use me. And he wants to use you, too. But are you in a place where he can use you? Millions have heard about Jesus walking on the water. Only a handful of guys were there to see it. And only one guy lived it. I don't want to be one of the millions. I don't even want to be just one of the handful content to be in the boat watching the scene. I want to be the guy on the water with Jesus. There is no greater way to live. What about you? Do you ever ask God to see miracles? Have you ever done that? Are you putting yourself in a position where you need one? This didn't come without the storm. Be careful what you ask for. My challenge to you this morning is get out of the boat. Find the opportunity. Right place, right time. Follow God's will for your life. Actively seeking. Keep that radar open. What does God want to do through you? And ask permission. Even the impetuous Peter asked first, Lord, can I come? Jesus said, come on. But sometimes God will say no. God, can you levitate this pen? No. Listen, these disciples, man, didn't they have multiple opportunities to demonstrate their faith in this story? They did, right? They did not demonstrate faith when he fed 5,000 people and took up 12 basketful of leftovers. You remember that? They didn't demonstrate faith. Mark 6:52. They had not gained any insight from the incident of the loaves. Their hearts were hardened. Wow. They didn't demonstrate faith when Jesus was walking on the water. They thought it was a spirit. They didn't demonstrate faith when Peter was walking on the water. Finally, when the storm calmed, they demonstrated faith, right? Those that were in the boat then they worshiped him, saying, oh, you are God's son. Wow. You made the storm stop. Now, these fishermen, they knew that didn't just happen, right? That was a bridge too far for them. Whoa, how do you do that? And he did this amazing thing that they had faith. But wouldn't it have been great had they just demonstrated all along? Wouldn't that have been good? Fear hinders faith. They didn't trust when things were scary. They had to go through the storm, but then they had to wait till it was calm before they trusted. Anybody could do that. In closing, I've shared multiple stories from my own life, from scriptures. God is faithful. God is working. And God still does miracles. But are you in a place where you can receive one on his terms? Are you in a place where you can observe God working? Now, I know the theme of this month is occupy the house, but you cannot be who God created you to be without living by faith. So how does God want you to get out of the boat? What dream has God given you? Where do you need to demonstrate faith? Where can you practice demonstrating belief, trust in the Lord and his call on your life? Are you supposed to have a different job? Are you supposed to be memorizing more scriptures so God can use them in your conversations with your friends? You supposed to have more conversations with people maybe during the pandemic? You supposed to go somewhere? Are you supposed to give something? What are you supposed to do? Maybe you need to be involved in ministry right here in the church. You've been sitting on the sidelines. Maybe you are involved in ministry here, but you're not involved in ministry out there, going to be the church outside the walls of the building. Maybe God wants you to take a new step of faith to keep your ministry here, but also spend some time out there, right? How is God leading you to get out of the boat? Your first step is as simple as this: believing God and his word. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. He that cometh to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who diligently seek him. Amen. Don't you think it's time to allow God to occupy your house? Do you think it's time to get out of the boat? Pastor Raphael is going to close us out.
Yeah, what a timely word. Amen. Hallelujah. God is so good, ladies and gentlemen. God is so good. What a way to look at that storm that was taking place? Do you just want to be one of the millions who have heard about it? Do you want to be one of the 12 who are there to witness it? Or do you want to be the one that experienced it? Each one of those things bring a very different perspective of faith in your life. And I love that we hear this from an illusionist, because there's a whole lot of people out there whose career isn't to do illusions, but their life is. Their life is. They let you see what they want you to see. They let you hear what they want you to hear. But deep down inside, the house is empty. The house is empty. The power, not there. They're just hanging on by the seam of their pants, just trying to make it to the next story. Never willing to actually get out of the boat, not even in the boat. But I feel that this word is exactly for those who are here today. He talked about coincidences, but we have learned there's no coincidence in God. Everyone that is here today is because God brought you here to hear this. We've been living lives, some of us, that we want people to believe. We want people to believe that we are where we say we are. But it's not for you to try to get other people to believe that you are where you are. You need to believe that you're where you need to be. So my prayer today is that you don't leave the same way that you arrive here today. Leave with the truth of God's word in your heart. And don't keep it to yourself. Don't keep it to yourself. If those 12 that were in that boat at that storm kept it to themselves, we never would have heard about it. But if God is doing something in your life, it's worth sharing. If God is doing something in your life and you're embarrassed about it, you may need to get off the boat and let somebody else in. If you're embarrassed about what God is doing in your life, don't be surprised when that something doesn't happen the next time. Because the beauty of Peter is that when he began to sink, he reached out for Jesus. But sometimes we have so much pride in our life, we'd rather drown than reach for Jesus. So don't leave this place the same way that you arrived today. And I praise God for this word from Matt, because he's right. Sometimes you do need to hear it from a little bit of a different perspective. That's why we have four gospels, not just one. And each one brings new life into ours. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight and we give you thanks, Lord. We give you thanks, Lord, for Matt's life, his daughter's life, his family's life, Lord God. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that you would just continue to increase in all of our lives. Lord, let us be able to experience, Heavenly Father, what it feels like to walk on that water. Lord, don't let us only have faith when the storm is over, Lord God, but let us have faith as the storm is happening, Lord. Because as the storm is happening, you'll have us by the hand. You will walk with us, and you will bring us to where we need to be. Lord, help us to continue to grow. Continue to allow us to hear you, feel you, experience you. And Lord, I pray that in the process, that you are the one to receive all of the glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. What I want to do right now is, if you feel like supporting the ministry that Matt represents, I just want to take up an offering for him. Because he didn't tell you this part. I'm going to tell you this part. He said he has an engineering background. Engineers make good money. But good money means nothing if you're not doing what God has called you to do. And in the midst of a pandemic, he heard the voice of God say, "You're done with that chapter. Now, you're doing what I need you to do." And I don't know about too many people who walked away from jobs in the middle of a pandemic. But when God tells you to walk away from a job, you best listen. Because he's going to be able to provide for you more than any job, more than any person, more than any entity. God is the one who provides. Amen? Hallelujah. So I just want to take him an offering. And if God puts it on your heart to give, then give. But give only what God is telling you. Don't do it just because. Don't do it just, I don't want to be the only one that doesn't put something in the basket. But do it out of obedience to God. Because that is when the blessing comes. And we want to make sure that this man does not leave today without a blessing, because he has blessed us. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let us worship together in Jesus' name.
The weapon may be formed, but it won't prosper. When the darkness falls, it won't prevail. Cause the God of earth knows only how to triumph.
Belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see a victory.
Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. We just come before you today and we give you thanks, oh God. We give you praise, oh God. Lord, let us be, Heavenly Father, let us be the one that experiences you, oh God. Let us experience you more today than yesterday. Lord, let us experience you more, Heavenly Father, in this life. Lord, let us be willing enough, Lord. Let us be able to be faithful enough, Lord God, to take that first step outside the boat, Lord God. Let us walk on water, Heavenly Father, not with grates underneath, Lord God, but with you ahead of us, Heavenly Father, with you in our sights. Let us not lose focus. Let us not lose the vision. Let us not lose, Lord God, what you have given us, Heavenly Father. Lord, let us continuously be filled with your power, your presence, and help us to discern in this confusing world, oh God. Lord, let us be able to leave this place empowered to carry out your will as the church outside of these walls, Lord God. Let us be your hands and feet to those who are hurting, and let them be able to know that there is hope in Jesus. And Lord, above all, we give you all of the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people said, amen, amen, and amen. Hallelujah.